Welcome to Season 4 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Hannah Wheeler, your calf roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Tie Down Breakdown. It's your new host, Hannah Wheeler. If you caught last week's episode, Taylor handed off the mic and introduced me, and now it's my turn to kind of kick things off. I've spent the last 9 months behind the scenes writing for CalfRoping.com and covering calf roping from pretty much every angle on our social channels. I'm looking forward to bringing those same conversations here to The Breakdown. Back in May, I had a call with Tuff Cooper just after his win at the inaugural Music City Rodeo in Nashville. We talked about what that run really meant to him and how his dad's legacy shaped his career and what lies ahead as he chases another NFR qualification. This episode gives a full look at where Tuff sat in and out of the arena in 2025. So you've had a lot going on this year. Tell me how you're juggling grief, rodeo, your own family. I mean, we're just going to jump right into it.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. Honestly, in the roping department, I'm just really focused on dialing in my craft.
Yeah.
And trying to find my on and off switch because there's a lot to deal with in it. You know, sometimes makes roping a nice outlet.
Right.
It makes, you know, channeling into, you know, what all those guys were saying about my dad, about how great he was of a roper, just roping, just talking roping here still, mm-hmm. just and how dialed in you got to be. And, you know, how he said, you got to separate yourself from everything and everyone to be the person you want to be. And I say to be the roper you want to be, but you got to do that in the practice pen. You got to, that's spending time with God, you know, that's being around great people. Loaded answer for your loaded question.
Well, it kind of leads me right into my next question of, like your mental strategy through all of this. Obviously, your dad's being honored at all of these rodeos, and you're watching that at the beginning, like, you know, in all these opening ceremonies. How does that affect your mental strategy before you go rope, if it does at all?
Maybe his spirit is in the building. When my dad's with me, when he was always with me, when he was in the box, now he's there, and I promise you, his coaching, he was very repetitive. Yeah. He made sure to keep it simple, and the true spirit of that is just winning.
Right.
Cody said it, on the video, at his memorial, and now just win, baby. That's it. And that's what these guys are doing. Shad came over the other day. Me and him had just the best session ever. It was just me and him and Jonesy, and Carrie and. Just to like really, like I remember the last time me and Riley roped, like just the way that nothing's changed. It's winning. Winning's winning. And you got to go after it. Yeah. But, you know, like the strategy is it has to be what I've learned from those guys. It's that, and that's to, go for first. And that's why I said, I don't even want to. Because I was getting, honestly, I was at January last year, like just ready for a little break, honestly.
Right.
And that's what I was doing for, you know, the last 2 months, just taking a break. And I was so glad I did, because I've got to spend, you know, the last month with my dad hanging out, roping, just hanging out at the house. I didn't go anywhere. We just hung out. And then it was the craziest thing. And then that happened. And we just kept practicing and just kept training through the whole process, because that's what he would do. That's what he would be expecting us to do. He'd be expecting us to not just show up to anywhere, and but that's to show up to not see if you're going to win, to see how much you're going to win. And if that's not the attitude, then that's what leads me to taking breaks. Hopefully I can get it back, but I don't want to enter a rodeo unless I know I can win first.
When we talked after you won San Antonio, you had mentioned staying home from the California rodeos and just taking a little bit of time off for a mental break, just kind of a little reset. And I know that obviously the circumstances within that month and a half weren't the circumstances that you wanted to take place during that, but did spending time off of the road kind of give you the reset that you were looking for to go back on the road?
I don't know if it was the break or the circumstance during the break, but you know, I'm sure grateful to still be, you know, able to go, able to rope. I'm grateful to be a calf roper today. And you know, we were talking about Mike Johnson earlier. I'm right here. We're right in the middle of the practice session. Like, he's got 23 back numbers, and he's still after it. Just like everyone that loved the sport so much, like my dad, like everyone wants to be involved. Like, we're all fortunate to be a part of this. I'm super fortunate. I think that perspective's helping a lot. You know, and the families, we got our families sticking tight together. And just to add, shout out all sponsors in rodeo, but you know, your sponsors and most importantly, like, I've literally inherited the not the best fans in sports. I've inherited the best fans in rodeo from my dad. He was so impactful, and just the fans that have been coming up, just, you can just feel the love that they shared with Super Loop, and that's so cool. And you know, definitely it's been well received. So and just all everybody, you know, of course there's always the opposite in all cases and scenarios, but the true love is definitely felt.
Yeah, when we talked at the finals, I guess you talked to Chelsea whenever she was videoing you, like what Chelsea does. You were talking and joking about all the young kids. So, you know, hanging out with and practicing with Mike Johnson, like, how is that helping you? I know you talked about wanting to be, you know, one of your goals at that point in time was to be one of the oldest to qualify in the calf roping. And has that shifted your goals any?
No, it's what's so crazy. I was on Kenyon earlier, which was always cool. Mm-hmm. And he asked, you know, like a similar question. And I gave him the story about when I started homeschooling. And I'll give you the full version real quick, because y'all are calfroping.com and the best long content in the game. I'm 16 years old. I'm already driving, have my own truck. I'm in 10th grade. I was way younger than I should have, way older than I should have been in my grade. But shortly you'll find out why. It's Monday morning. Roy's gone. He's come back that afternoon. I wake up. I'm already driving myself to school. He said 35 kids were getting dropped off, fresh ones. They're right at the house. And I see it as I'm driving to school, probably late. And I go in first class and I'm failing. I go to the second class, I'm failing. I go to the third class. You know the story. So I tell him I'm sick. I need to go to the principal's office or the nurse's office, and call. They said, "All right, what's the matter?" I said, "Stomach hurts. I need to call my dad." Call him. Said, "Pops, I'm sick. I need you to tell the nurse I can go home." He tells the nurse, "I go home. I get in my truck, call my dad, and say, 'Pops, you cannot have 35 fresh ones wait at the house and expect me to be in school.'" Said, "I'm not going to do it. I can drive now." He said, "All right, get them saddled. I'll be there in a couple hours." That afternoon, we had the best session of my entire life. I was 16 years old. It was just me and Pops. I was getting handy, and because I was getting to rope on great horses,
right,
and have great calves and great conditions, and it was set up for success. with the best coaching in the world. And after the session, I remember we tied the horses up and we sat down and we were just breathing, talking about roping. And that's why I told him, I said, this is for sure what I know I want to do. And I said, I don't want to go to school anymore. I said, I'm not going to be at school when I want to be in the practice gym. Basically signed out. He went there the next day, signed me out of school. We didn't tell my mom or sister for like as long as we could. They finally catch wind. And Roy says, Chad has still got the skid marks in the driveway from how fast she slammed up, slammed on her brake pulling in, how fast she was going, how fierce she was. He said she went in there, Chad went in there and gave it to him. And she come in there and just, I don't know, I'm sure. The pressure, from that point on, the pressure was on for me. I promise you, but she was doing the best job she could. And from that point on, we, you know, that day that we decided to rope, we laid down all of our goals. You know, we built it out all the way till I'm 50 years old. Cause that's what I told him. I said, how long did you rope? And he was still roping. He could still rope good. And he really told me he was really innovative and always really, but there were some fast twitch machines we got. He really, really ran a great program with me when I was a kid. Not on top of, he truly believed, if you listen to what he said, that y'all were going to win, or y'all at least had a chance to win. It really didn't matter who you were. Mm-hmm. Really. He believed if he had his hands on you long enough, he could make a world champion.
Yeah. He made several of them.
He sure did. He took pride in it too.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's what makes him the greatest ever. You know, right. There's a couple buckles that he should have won that would have given him 8. That's with Dean. On top of being the super looper, I think that wins, but either or, doesn't matter. So it's going to be an ageless argument always.
Taking a quick break to jump in here and tell you guys a little bit about roping.com. With a roping.com membership, you can get unlimited access to roping.com's comprehensive tie down, breakaway, and team roping video library, and learn from world champions Caleb Schmidt and Shad Mayfield, as well as top trainers Logan Harkey and Justin Moss. Plus, you can binge hundreds of hours of live and archived ropings, including the Cinch Timed Event Championship and the Patriot Events, the legendary Spicer Grip and Mobetta ropings, and more. Now, let's get back into the episode.
Back to Nashville things. Tell me about the experience at Nashville. I know some people, have been... Everyone that I've talked to has been excited about it and excited about the growth that it has. I want to hear your perspective.
I was first one to show up after the barrel racing. I was waiting for the barrel racers to get out of there. I had my bus parked downtown. I mean, all we need is more money.
Right.
You know, that's an NFL. That's what I said. That's just a little 11th perf, 12th perf, and 13th perf in Vegas with concerts. It has the potential to grow into a good series. And for a first year radio, I mean, it really, I thought, in so many ways, captured the American Western spirit, cowboy. I don't even know. It captured so many things. It's crazy to me that Nashville, it seems like Nashville should have had a rodeo for the past 20 years. That's what it feels like. The performances ran well. I was in the first perf. The kids were phenomenal. There's always the best run, you know, and me and Hurricane talk about all the time, and everyone, well, you should be, if you're not, talking about when's the best run. And, you try to enter for that turn, and sometimes you miss. Right. Slack was supposed to be the best run over there, and I'm sure it was good. But I'm telling you, that first perf, there was 10 kids that went, or 9 kids. I think someone doctored that perf. Yeah, Tanner Green doctored. And you would have had a chance to win first, Tanner. Because the other 9 guys had a chance to win first place.
Right.
It was unreal. Reba and then Jelly Roll, I heard, was awesome, all that. It was I mean, it was a new fun experience. I didn't mind it being just one day in and out, checking it out, being parked. I was parked.
Were you one of the 30 to make it in?
I was one of the 30.
Yeah.
Telling you, I drove all night. I guess, yeah. I was excited. And that's what I'm saying. It seems like everything they're doing, like, they're no dummies.
Walk me through your run.
Okay. I totally almost blew the whole run at the very beginning of, you can see something happen. It looked like my horse stumbled. Well, that's what your horse looks like. He stumbles whenever you drop hard as you can and you pick up as hard as you can instantly. You're not supposed to do that. I did that. Luckily, that's why my dad said, oh, you need an old horse, because I'll do stuff like that. And I had way too much bit on him. And it just kind of stalled him for a second. But luckily, we stayed moving forward. The calf just ran a perfect pattern. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And had some action. But that's what, like, when I was riding in the box, what would my dad say? He would say, miss the barrier at least 6 inches. Or not miss it 6 inches. He said, add 6 inches to the start. So if you're seeing the start was a move, really it was right with them, to be honest, was what the start was. But you might as well just give a move or a step, because, you know, you can get them out in front of you and stick it on them.
Right.
You know. And then good rodeos. It's just like, just, you got to score smart. But nowadays, that's what these guys are. They score for first. They hit the barrier so hard. So,
yeah.
It's nice to still be able to run a good play, even though you kind of mess it up and it be successful. I would have done the same thing had I not, you know, messed my start up.
For sure.
Probably way too much information.
No, not at all. I love any and all information. It's great whenever I have too much. I'd rather have too much than too little. So no, it's great. You're sitting fifth in the world standings heading into the summer. What's your strategy or plan for the summer? I know you're probably not one to look at the world standings and you don't want to pay attention to that, but kind of what's your strategy? What's your game plan?
I know this. Riley Webb won 450,000 2 years ago, 475,000 this past year. I'm expecting the world champion to have to win 500. That's or more. I mean, that's the goal, whatever it takes.
Right.
You got to get to $500,000. That is insane.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Shout out everyone putting on rodeos. Making me rodeo.
Yeah.
That's what I tell Cody. I said he would clean house. He would absolutely clean house nowadays. It wouldn't be fair.
I mean, how cool is it though that guys like your dad got to watch it from whenever they weren't winning 100,000 a year, and now here they are winning 500,000 a year.
Yeah, 1978, the world champion left Vegas. His total NFR earnings was $7,000. That's second to last place in one round. It's out there.
It, yeah.
Plenty opportunity. For sure.